Welcome to a true crime murderific journey. I'm your host, Bernadette. Stay tuned after the show for promos, patron shoutouts, and phone calls. Remember, horrific in murder equals murderific. Enjoy the show.
Content warning. The Murderific True Crime Podcast contains offensive language and will have information about kidnappings, torture, murder, and sexual assault. It is inappropriate for children or the faint of heart.
Welcome to Murderific Mini, episode 15. My guest today is Rebecca.
Hi.
And this is our second episode in October of Vampire Murderers, because it's Halloween. Remember last year when you... it wasn't last year, because last year is a black void. But the year before, you won a Halloween costume contest.
I did. I was it.
I was it, too. But your it was better.
Yeah.
This is what happened. I was it. She was it. I, as in Bernadette, was it. And you were it, Becca. And then I had one red balloon, and you had, like, 10 red balloons.
Yeah, it was my prop. I think that's what got me.
And then your husband was Michael Myers.
Yeah.
And then you won, and I was a little bit bitter about it. It's okay, though.
I won $100.
You did. I hope everyone is having a great October. I think that it's the best month out of the year for me.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite months. I love the summer, but I do love October also.
Today's episode will bring us back 500 years to talk about the most vicious female serial killer in all recorded history. Elizabeth Bathory belonged to an aristocrat Hungarian family in the 1500s. She lived a life of sadistic activities, including drinking the blood of young girls to preserve her beauty and youth. And the amount of victims is in the hundreds. As long as people have been around, there have been serial killers. And yes, some of them are even female. This is Elizabeth Bathory's story. So, an interesting topic today, a female serial killer. What comes to mind when you think of female killers? First thing.
Eileen.
Yeah. I think of Jane Toppin, who was a woman who used poison to kill people, and that was in the 1890s. And Belle Guinness, and of course, Eileen. And there's definitely no shortage of female serial killers. But let's get into this fascinating case where it's hard to tell fact from fiction, but we'll try to figure it out.
So we'll start by talking about Elizabeth growing up. She was born August 7th, 1560, in Transylvania, to a distinguished family, a good family name, Bathory, which included kings, cardinals, knights, and judges. Her family dated all the way back to 900 AD. At age 11 or 12, Elizabeth was already betrothed to a man from an aristocratic Hungarian family named Ferenc. But before they had a chance to wed, she had an affair with a peasant boy.
What? She was 11!
It was reported that her lover was castrated and eaten by dogs. That's some Game of Thrones shit.
That's rough.
Elizabeth had a child out of that affair. The baby was hidden from view. We're not really sure exactly what that means, but I'm guessing brought up by another family. Elizabeth and Ferenc were married in 1575, and she was only 15 years old. He was 19. There were close to 5,000 people at the wedding. Elizabeth's social standing was higher than that of her husband, so she didn't change her last name. In fact, her husband took her last name, which again was Bathory. Her husband gifted his home to his bride, called the Castle of Sejit in modern-day Slovakia. She also received the country home and 17 adjacent villages, 20 castles, farms, etc. Her husband had an important job as a chief commander of the Hungarian troops when they were in war against the Ottomans, so Elizabeth's job would be managing the business affairs and estates. She was responsible for the people employed by them to take care of their properties. And by employed, we are basically meaning servants.
The couple had 4 to 5, depending on what you read, children together, and maybe a 6th child, but that child is not confirmed. They were all raised by governesses, just as Bathory had been. Bathory's husband is gone quite a bit, and he was attending to war matters. As she was educated, she could read and write and had taken math classes. Elizabeth knew several languages. She borrowed books from other nobles, and her interests included biology, anatomy, religion, and the occult. She issued directives on the most profitable sales of crops and livestock and defense. Her job was to protect her mini kingdom from outside neighbors. This is a lot of responsibility for a teenager.
A child, really.
In the beginning, Elizabeth seemed concerned with her serfs' well-being. She helped a few destitute women under her command. But remember, Elizabeth grew up in a society where violence and cruelty was very common. She witnessed public executions growing up. In one execution, the young child witnessed a man being sewn alive into the belly of a horse.
Oh my God.
It's medieval shit.
Wow. Okay.
Her husband, who she saw maybe two times a year, was also a cruel man. He had been known to decapitate dead bodies and play football with severed heads. He wrote his wife frequently and happily told her his horrible stories and gave Elizabeth advice on how to discipline the servants.
Some romantic letters.
When her husband was home, he would show his wife demonstrations. In one instance, he had a serving girl taken outside. She was made to strip, and then they had her covered in honey. It was summer, and she was forced to stand there for a day and a night, all while she was being stung by bees and bitten by insects. When the poor girl dropped to the ground from being so tired, Elizabeth's husband would put oiled paper between the girl's toes and light the oil. Elizabeth watched and also participated in these horrible acts. Elizabeth's husband died in 1604 after 29 years of marriage. Our sponsor for Murderific is Anna Luisa, a jewelry company with fair prices and jewelry starting at $39. And it's also produced ethically. Even the packaging is from recycled paper or cardboard. That's Anna Luisa, A-N-A-L-U-I-S-A. We have a unique link for our listeners using code MURDERIFIC to get 10% off all products, and that link will be in the show notes. I'm a big fan of the jewelry pieces. I'm into dainty classic pieces with high quality, and Anna Luisa checks all of the boxes. They have a cute necklace piece called Sylvia, which is 14-karat gold plating. It's two pieces in one necklace, a layered necklace. It's lightweight and very delicate, and I love it. They also have a pair of earrings called Sia, and they look like paper clips. It's a statement piece, sure to get attention. It goes with any outfit, and the jewelry is affordable and classic, so you can wear it with casual clothes or dress-up looks, and you can also mix and match the pieces. New collection pieces are released every Friday, so treat yourself and your loved ones and use my code at checkout, MURDERIFIC, to get 10% off any Anna Luisa products. That's Anna Luisa, A-N-A-L-U-I-S-A. Again, the link will be in the show notes and on social media. That's 10% off with the code MURDERIFIC.
In 1602, a Lutheran minister named Eystein Menyari started to question the unusual amount of bodies of female servants coming out of the Bathory Castle for burial. The countess said it was cholera, which is an infection caused by bacteria in food or water, and this caused severe diarrhea, dehydration, and caused death within hours after getting symptoms. But there were rumors that were out, rumors that Elizabeth had a secret chamber in her castle, rumors that Lady Bathory was torturing and killing girls in these secret rooms. The rumors had been going for a while, but if anyone complained to authorities, nothing was done. Obviously, she's affluent from an affluent family, like we said. Nothing was done as these were poor, underprivileged serfs. Sounds very similar to today, just undervalued people. The rumors were true. For years, Bathory had been abusing and killing servant girls. Her favorite were young girls. Here are some of the things Elizabeth was into according to reports and stories. Bathory liked to burn her victims with hot irons, beat them with clubs, stick needles under their fingernails. Ugh, I hate fingernail shit. Any fingernail stuff in movies, I'd always cover my eyes. She would pour ice water on their bodies and leave the girls to freeze outdoors. Elizabeth continued with the honey torture her husband had showed her.
So she's just sitting around, obviously thinking of different ways to torture these girls. And she learned all this stuff from her husband.
And she started seeing this violence super young, and they were together for like 30 years. She was running out of peasant girls, so she began getting the daughters of local peasants as her victims. These were also abductions.
Bathory's crimes continued and became more twisted as time went on. She would bite the breasts of her victims, taking out chunks of flesh. She would use scissors to cut them or would stab them. She would stick needles into the girls' lips. Some were starved. She would cut off the girls' hands, noses, and genitals. She would use scissors to cut between the girls' fingers. And then it gets even worse.
Ow!
She had been accused of cannibalism, drinking the blood of her victims, so that she could stay young and beautiful. Elizabeth also liked to bathe in the blood of her victims. So this is kind of starting to make sense. I bet people heard these stories of all these horrible things that she did, and they didn't understand the reason why. So maybe they came up with the idea that she was like a vampire killer and liked to bathe in the blood of her victims, when really she just was a sadistic serial killer.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It was only when Elizabeth started killing girls of higher social standing did authorities start to take notice of all of the missing people. An investigation started in 1610, finally, after years of accusations. King Matthias II ordered that Elizabeth be investigated by a man named Thurzo. They started by getting actual witness accounts. They got testimony from 300 witnesses. The witnesses spoke of girls aged 10 to 14 years being tortured and killed. Some witnesses spoke of the specific tortures they had witnessed and named relatives that died under Elizabeth's care. Some of the witnesses were neighbors. Thurzo went to the castle and arrested Bathory and four of her servants, who were accused of being her accomplices. Inside the castle, there were dead victims and girls that were there imprisoned. Bathory's servants were three older women and one boy. The women supervised and participated in the torture sessions. Elizabeth tried to get out of it by saying she allowed her servants to do such things because even I was afraid of them. So she was saying she was afraid of her servants.
Uh-huh.
Unlikely story. Elizabeth had nobles who acted as, quote, girl catchers for the countess, traveling to even find new female servants for her. Even Elizabeth's daughter, Catalin, had taken part in some of the torture sessions. Honestly, the story sounds so crazy, it almost sounds made up.
There's like, gotta be some aspects of truth to this.
Yeah, but what if they wanted her castle and her property and they made up all these stories about a woman to take her land? I'm thinking of the witch trials here, but
it's possible.
It must be real.
In 1611, in January, all the servants except for one who died were tried and executed. Two of the servants had their fingers torn off and were then burned. The boy was just beheaded. The elderly servant went to prison. The nobles who helped Elizabeth get her victims were never even arrested due to their social standing. Some of the accusers didn't see any torture themselves. A lot of this testimony was questionable because some of it was gotten under duress and torture. From all the testimony, a number of 650 was settled on as a victim count. That is insane. One witness said that Bathory kept a registry of her crimes, though the book was never recovered. Ultimately, Bathory was charged with 80 murders. None of this testimony even ended in a trial for her. Instead, she was put on house arrest, walled in one room with a small space for air and food to pass through. Her last 3 years were spent in the room, with the windows boarded up in solitary confinement, until August of 1614, when she was found dead. She was 54 years old. She had a will leaving everything to her three remaining children. Her body was buried in a church, but the villagers were upset that she was buried in their cemetery, so she was moved to her birth home in Exed. The location of her body today is unknown. There is no grave site for her. I'm sure whatever grave site, if she had one, would have just been destroyed.
Thousands of years later, we can probably be sure that Bathory was not a vampire countess, but instead was an important landowner who didn't have a man by her side to protect her. Hungarian scholars have said that King Matthias II owed Bathory's late husband a sizable debt and didn't want to pay it back.
Huh.
And without a trial, no one would ever know that, and Elizabeth didn't even get the right to defend herself. Despite this, Elizabeth Bathory is recorded as being one of the most prolific serial killers in history, even listed in the Guinness Book of World Records. She's often compared with Vlad the Impaler, on who Count Dracula is based. She has been named the Blood Countess and will forever be known as a woman who wanted to bathe in the blood of virgins to remain youthful, which turns out to be a really good story that everyone has remembered. So How do we know what's true? We really don't.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, not glamorized, but bathing in the blood of virgins to stay young. She just was killer.
Yeah, that sounds like something a man would make up.
Yes, it does.
And that is the end of our vampire story in October. We have another one coming up on Halloween.
Ooh.
So make sure you listen to that. I want to thank our new patrons this month. And that is Sierra M. from Canada. And I sent your stuff out. And then Aaron R. from Illinois. And Anita G. from the country of Poland.
Cool.
All of our patrons are like from different countries. It's amazing. And that is Murderific Mini episode 15. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Murderific True Crime Podcast. To support the show, join our Patreon and hear the regular podcast early and ad-free, plus get some fun merch or buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com. You can find both of those links in our show notes or at murderific.com. Of course, you can rate and review Murderific on iTunes, which is free and an easy way to help others find the show. Or tell your friends, it really helps. All sources for episodes will be in the show notes. Until next time, we will be executing podcasts one crime at a time.
Craving this awful, raging, eating feeling inside. I could feel it consuming my inside. This fantastic passion. It was overwhelming me.
Hey there, listener. My name is Jan Beans, and I'm the creator and host of Wicked Crimes South Africa. Wicked Crimes South Africa is a true crime podcast that focuses on true crimes in South Africa who have a link to the occult or supernatural. So if a cult did it, if it was part of a ritual, or there was some spooky connection, you'll find it all on this podcast. To give you a taste of this podcast, here's a little extract from our second episode, Mob Injustice, The Murder of Mandla Sibiya. It is during this meeting the Induna would tell the community that the Isangoma he consulted revealed the names of Malabongwe's murderers and the motive behind this was inspired by witchcraft. The Induna did request that the community members not be armed for this meeting, but due to his neglect in informing the police about his intentions for this meeting and what he would divulge, no real security was planned for the meeting, and several community members managed to sneak weapons in. It was in this meeting, of what sounds more like a traditional court than a community meeting, that Mandla Sibiya was accused of being one of the murderers, and was subsequently brought forward and asked to answer for his crimes. So, if you like what you heard over there, we are currently available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And we're coming to more platforms soon. So hop on over and give us a listen.